CliffCentral.com.
Yebo, it is CliffCentral.com on a Monday morning. Bulelo and I are here with Leanne Moll, and we're going to look after you through the course of this brand new week. And I know it's going to be really tough. It's a whole 5-day week after last week, which was nice and short. So if you're struggling with that, peace to you. We'll try to make it more bearable. Got Collectomania coming up in a little bit. There are lots of people commenting on the story that we dealt with Dr. Hanan just a minute ago. Christine Chrobla says, my husband and I started the process of immigration to New Zealand in 2019. When I found out that they wouldn't accept me while on my meds, I stopped it and I had a huge relapse. You see, this is precisely what we're talking about. Also, by the way, another point that was raised by somebody during the break is that a lot of people have been in quarantine. And the quarantine situation may also put additional pressures and stresses on people. So I think that's probably something we need to take into consideration here. And just maybe you've got something to add on this. You can always do that by dropping us a message in the comments live on YouTube. Daniela says, my residency in New Zealand was almost declined because I'm anemic and they do not want you to be a burden on their healthcare system. You see, that's just shitty. I think that's absolutely, that's insane. If you have a pre-existing medical condition, look, she says, it can affect your New Zealand immigration. It's understood that she went off her meds to make sure that she got a visa. Yeah, look.
Listen, it's difficult for the two comments we've just had to hear this, but I'm on their side because I'm all about making yourself what you want to be, right? Is if those countries have worked incrementally to be what they are, it's not on them to take on another strain. So I'm totally on board with that. And I know it sounds cold, but I would be a hypocrite because that's how I try and operate as an individual in my life is I work hard to be the things that I am. I'm not going to allow you to be a strain on me. Yeah. So I get the mentality that if you operate at the level New Zealand, Australia, Canada, Sweden operate at, it's like, no, if you are not this, we already have those things here.
Yeah.
You know, we're not taking another issue from somewhere else as, you know, as high level people don't in their personal lives. They just don't.
So,
and it's horrible to say.
Let's just look at this story with the pastor, because I don't think we're going to discover anything new from talking about this New Zealand immigration situation for that family and that poor father who's, you know, left with three of his kids gone and his wife in jail. It's just an awful, awful situation. If you didn't hear the story, you certainly can listen to last week's show to check it out in the podcasts. But there is this pastor, a crooked pastor, who's being slammed on social media. Apparently, he told all of his congregants, we can speed up the whole Jesus coming back thing if you'll just donate money to this other pastor. Now, I'm not sure how that works, but they must have been cahoots, right? Is that how it went down?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this guy, his name is J.C. Duplantis, and he's quite a Joe Biden-esque looking person. He is based in New Orleans, and he himself is known for his extravagant lifestyle.
Sure.
You know, you talk about the jets, and he has his own private plane.
Yeah.
He's a multimillionaire. He's this right-wing pastor who boasts about and brags about his wealth. And obviously this other pastor, you know, thought, I want to be like that too. So the two of them got together and he, you know, this pastor believes that he can just help other people in this way.
Help other people, so help himself.
Yeah. He appeared alongside this televangelist, Kenneth Copeland.
Oh, yeah.
For a church fundraiser. And he claimed that he believed that God's will was for people to give money to ministers like himself.
Yeah. It sounds really convenient that God's will and his will really overlap so nicely.
He says, I quote, I really believe that if people would call this number to donate, the Father would say, Jesus, go get him. He wants to see us as much as we want to see him. So what's hindering all these things?
Oh.
It's because people are not doing in the financial realm what God's called them to do.
Yeah. Well, here's a picture of this J.C. Duplantis. Just take a look at this guy. And there's him and his wife. Can you imagine?
Classic.
That's just sleaze bucket stuff. I could tell just by looking at that guy. And you know, Dr. Hanan said you can't see what evil looks like. I tell you what, this is what evil looks like. That couple, Duplantis Ministries. Jesus, I mean, you know, this is where, like, I wish that God was more wrathful, like He was in the Old Testament. And if there is a God, that he would send down,
just slay people.
Just like a pillar of sulfur and fire to just sort out Jesse Duplantis Ministries. So this is where, like, if you think about it, if you were using my name, and I'm just a mortal human, right? If you were using my name to recruit people to a cause, and it was an evil cause, or you were using my name to steal people's money, I would be pretty upset about that. And I'm sure that God, if He exists, is upset about this. But I wish He was more angry like He used to be in the old books and just turn this guy into salt or something like that. That would be nice.
First part of the book was more of the sizzle.
There was more action.
A little more steak in there.
Yeah, there was a lot more action there. Jesse,
yeah, there was a bit more pop. Yeah.
I mean, look at this guy.
People killing their own children.
If you're not watching us on YouTube this morning and you are listening perhaps to the podcast or whatever, you need to see what this guy looks like. Just Google a picture of Jesse Duplantis, and it is precisely spelt how you think it is. I mean, he does look a bit Joe Biden-esque, but he's got this white hair, and he's got this fake smile, and he just looks Teflon. He looks like plastic. And his wife, who's obviously in the picture with him, she looks just as much an accessory to the crime as he is. Horrible, horrible people. How is it that we can see through this guy and his bullshit and other people can't? He's probably got a congregation more, it's probably larger than our audience, right? So how is it that we, who are not proselytizing anything here, and we're certainly not asking for money from our audience, how come he gets away with all that stuff to the tune of millions? How does he get away with that?
Talk about brainwashing. I mean, he says he also during this telethon raised the fact that he's had criticism before of the years about his use of a private jet. And he says that commercial planes are full of demons.
Oh, yeah.
He says, people ask me if I have a private jet, and I say, yes, and you can have it the day after the rapture because Jesse's going to heaven.
That's awesome.
It's one of those.
You know who we never hear from enough? I'd imagine, you know, people are crazy. There is a family in Israel that have claimed to be the direct descendants of Jesus. I'm pretty sure it exists, you know, just because people are like that. Have they ever tried to do this claim? You know, like to accelerate my great, 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 great grandfather's return. Mm. You've got to give us so many shekels. You know what I mean?
I'd
love
money.
It to get to. Yeah, show me the money. For those people who weren't listening, if you ever saw a show called Dallas, these people look like the Dallas characters, but 20 years later, like off camera. That's what that's what old
Duplantis, Jesse Duplantis. Can you imagine? Like, I know that there's no way that this guy is. He probably knows he's a fraud, right? He wakes up in the morning and he's like, I'm going to get away with stealing these people's money again today. And they're so stupid, they'll just fall for it like they have every other time before. I don't think he's one of those people who, like, doesn't know that he's doing wrong. I think he's self-consciously fraudulent. He's totally aware of what's going on, Jesse Duplantis. And as for that other guy, Copeland, I've seen him in YouTube videos too. He's the one who's like, they do these... They're the kind of pastors who have, like, they speak in tongues and they heal people in their church. You know, they sort of push the person's head and suddenly they can get up and walk. Of course, you find out afterwards, if you've been paying attention, that person could always walk, and they pretended to be in a wheelchair for a while for the effect. So how people fall for this is beyond me. To me,
how is it legal?
I'm not the world's – like, I'm not the smartest guy. I've been scammed and bullshitted in a few ways in my life, but I think I can fairly easily see through these guys.
It's pretty fun, though. I must tell you, when I was in Atlanta, where Felicia Mabuza Sattel lives, because she lives in Atlanta, Gareth, as you know.
Yeah, sweetheart, husband.
If you didn't know.
My husband, Earl.
Yeah, Felicia. I just thought, all right, let's take the piss here. Let's have a full go. Jesus seems to be raging in that whole place.
Yeah.
Popped in there. One of the most thrilling 3 hours of my life, I got to tell you.
It's a show, right?
Yeah, it's like a music festival. It was just like being at Tomorrowland with a little bit more Jesus thrown in the mix. Just unbelievable. I get the allure of that part. I got to tell you, electrifying. And then people just throw money forward as well. When you got people riled up at that final level, right, and then they'll just do anything. And that's when they ask for the cash. It was something to spectate because I was there to take the piss, right? I was just oh my God, I have to see this.
Apparently some of these churches even have those card machines that go around. So
Macaulay and the boys down the road.
Yeah. You don't have to have the cash. Sorry. You can actually just use your credit card. They'll take credit cards.
Jesus takes crypto even. Jesus will take crypto. Yeah, no problem.
Really?
Macaulay down the road, before they kicked him out, I think Raymer kicked him out or whatever, they take snap scan. There's snap scan on the back of benches. Oh, no, we're not playing. No. Healing comes at a price, Gareth. Jeez.
Just shows you.
Yeah, I'll take anything. Snap scan. They had snap scan on the benches.
It's unreal. That's absolutely insane. All right. Well, there's an interesting story for you. Now, we spoke about China just a minute ago because China are obviously eyeing Taiwan greedily and looking at ways that they can just snap up Taiwan as an extra Chinese territory. They did that with Tibet not so long ago, and it won't be long before they start looking elsewhere in Asia and perhaps even in other parts of the world. We know that they've got a huge influence on what's going on in this continent, Africa, and it's not exactly just friendly. You know, we'll come here and help you build infrastructure. We want all your resources, and we'll take all these perks, and we'll take some of your lucre, and yeah, we'll give you a road or a bridge or something just to shut you up, because you should really be aware of the fact that China's coming with an imperial and a colonial mindset into places like Africa. But let's just turn our attention to something else that's going on there. They've got a ban on sissy men. Now, this is interesting, and this is where I think China may be onto something, because, you know, the other day we read about how they have decided, well, they're not going to tolerate kids being on the internet for more than an hour a day. So if your kid is playing games or they're on the internet for more than an hour a day in China, it locks them out. The system actually locks them out. So they're not allowed to be on the internet for more than an hour a day. And many of us will say, oh, well, that's just typical of an autocratic totalitarian country where the government wants to control everything, but this may actually help them in the long run, right? They may end up in a better situation than our country, for example, or America, where kids just spend their entire life on the internet. Now, the sissy men ban is another part of this. China's really getting involved in marshalling society into the kind of society they want it to be, and sissy men seem to be their next target. Now, what do they mean by this, Leanne?
No, she's on mute.
You're on mute.
On mute. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it happens. It still happens from time to time. Just unmute to yourself.
Sorry.
There we go.
You're back.
All right. So
you are back.
What do the Chinese regard as a sissy man?
So they use this Chinese derogatory slur called Niang Pao, which literally means girly guns. They're basically males, often celebrities, who are deemed too effeminate. So you look at all the K-pop type guys who are kind of rebelling against this masculine, macho, vibe that celebrities have gone for all their lives. And the Chinese authorities are saying that they're rolling out a rule. It's not a law. It's a rule to purge morally flawed celebrities in order to correct aesthetics in performing styles, wardrobes, and makeups. But the thing is that if you look at the tech companies that actually give these celebrities their platform, they're all American.
Yeah.
And it could be true to this extent that the Chinese government's got this hidden agenda of targeting big tech giants.
Sure.
And it wants to keep, tabs on its own citizens.
Sure.
But China does have a history of repressing LGBTQ communities. So, it's a two-way street, this, because now big tech companies are stepping back and saying, well, we're going to make this known worldwide. And they're trying to make the Chinese government look stupid and, you know, backward in doing this sort of thing.
Well, maybe China also are just, they don't care about political correctness. We know this, right? They're not interested in how much they upset the LGBTQIA++ community. They don't give a shit about that. China is not interested in doing what the American government's interested in doing, which is pandering to these interest groups. And while these may be big stories in the US, in China, they're nothing. Chinese don't care about this stuff. And you know what? I kind of think that maybe this is America's fault. Is, you know, America's got such an emphasis at the moment on race or gender identity or on sexual preference. A country like China doesn't care about that shit. They're like, no, that doesn't help our population. We're not interested in a bunch of K-pop singers. We're interested in men who do manual labor and build buildings and dams and, you know, that's the kind of shit they care about. And it's interesting because the left in America love China, and yet the left in America are the ones who keep forwarding this agenda from the LGBTQ community and, you know, about all these minor, like, trans issues and things that affect such a tiny percentage of the population. China's like, we don't care about that shit at all. So there's going to be a conflict at some point. Somewhere, something's got to give.
It's just amazing how they really want to, I suppose, in an Australian and New Zealand way, want to have control over their people.
Oh, yeah.
I also was watching a documentary this weekend of these enormous cities in China that have been built with not one person living in them. They're all over China. They're these massive ghost cities that make you think you must be watching a video from 2020 when it was lockdown, because the traffic lights are working, you know, the signage is up, the roads are there, the banks are there, the schools, the churches, the religious places, they're all there, apartments.
Correct.
But there's not one person living in these cities. They're building these cities thinking that they can create these idyllic settings for people to live in. But these people aren't moving.
Well,
I almost prefer China's way of doing things. You know, there's a lot of BS in the Western world. It's like, we're doing this for you. China are unapologetic. I like people that are, I'm doing this and it's for me and I'm not interested in how you feel about it, which is obviously brutal for the rest of us with our Western liberalisms. And of course, it has its many problems. I'm not here to advocate for China or America. I just like that they are clear. People aren't clear. I hate that. I hate sort of, China are like, no, we're doing this. We're taking your oil while we're at it. And by the way, we're going to leave with it. You're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, and we don't care what your gender identity is or if you're wearing a dress like Harry Styles. It's nothing about that is interesting or important to us.
No. The fact that you're in an interracial relationship means shit all to us. Or what value are you to us with money?
Well, I mean, we'll have to see how the chips fall on this one, but it's not going to be easy for a great many people whose main agenda is this kind of thing to deal with this. Because, of course, I think China also said over the weekend that George Soros is the most evil man in the world. Now, George Soros is a man in the U.S. who's been funding a lot of left-wing causes, and you would think that he and China may see eye to eye, but the Chinese have no time for him. In fact, they banned all of his NGOs, and you cannot operate an NGO like that in China. Any foreign funded NGO has been shut down in China. Again, they seem to have their priorities right for China, not for anyone else. And there are other countries in the world that have completely forgotten that their priority is for their own people. I don't know if you've been watching what's going on in the US at the border in Texas, but they've got a major problem there. They've got a bunch of what they call Haitian refugees. These are people from Haiti, which is, by the way, an island in the Caribbean. Somehow these mostly men have come across the Rio Grande. I think it's the Rio Grande, the river in that separates the border between Mexico and Texas in this case, and have just decided to settle themselves on the U.S. side of the river, under bridges and in makeshift shelters and out in the open, basically. And it just seems to be an out-of-control situation, which the U.S. administration under Joe Biden seems hopeless to actually counter. So I don't know what's going on there, but it would be interesting to hear what develops in that situation over the next while. Because again, America's stuck between, you know, do we have open borders and we just want everybody who's having a terrible time in their own countries to just be able to march in to America? Or do we actually have certain rules that you have to comply with if you want to be American? Who knows what the answer to that is? But that administration is trying to straddle that divide at the moment, and we'll see how that goes. Sometimes Mbulelo's socialist tendencies really grate my nipples, says Carl. Yeah.
And hey, listen, Carl, I went for a health test. I am in fine fettle. Your nipples are going to be non-existent because I'm about to be around for another 50 years. That's going to be tough.
Yeah. And then Freedom Fighter says, isn't there a brand called Sissy Boy?
Yeah, there is. Those jeans. Yeah. Denims.
TikTok for thee, but not for me, says Rob Hutchinson. That's exactly right. That's kind of Chinese policy there. Why is everyone hating on Xi Jinping? He just makes the toys.
I was actually going to say, that's so funny, is we are trapped here, is because people are like, oh, damn it, China. But bloody hell, do I love the iPhone 12 Plus. You know, I like being able to afford that. Unfortunately, you've got to have no labor laws in order to have that cost not 100,000 rand.
Yeah. I don't know what the answer is to that Chinese situation. We'll have to just watch and wait and see. But I don't think it's going to be compatible with what's going on in the woke Western world, where clearly a lot of this stuff just is a whole – it's a powder keg. A clusterfuck. It's just waiting for something to go wrong. It's a mess.
Chocolate fire. But
is the irony not that they're typing place. It on their iPhone?
Well, exactly.
That's the great irony.
Which was probably made by children in some poor country somewhere, you know. But we're so woke.
China.
Yeah. Well,
no, I mean, you saw.
But they also they make some of the components in places like Vietnam, and you know what it's like. It's all very complicated. All right. We've got Cliff Central Sport coming up a little later on today, and Bulelo's got some interesting stuff going on there. Apparently, just on a related, slightly tangential related story to sport, is apparently LeBron James's agent, that is the person who is in charge of administering and managing LeBron James's career. Of course, he's a famous basketballer. His agent is dating Adele, the singer.
Yeah,
that's pretty
called
cool.
Rich Paul. Yeah, it's a wow. When I heard that, we got a guy called Kerry Keating on our show on Thursday. I was like, Adele's dating Rich Paul. In my mind, I'm like, where did they meet? Like, he's yo, LeBron, and she's I'm Adele. I'm singing. I'm Adele.
Adele. Like,
oh yeah, I'm Adele. How you doing? I'm singing. 19. Remember that? That whole thing.
Well,
like, where did they meet? Where does Rich Paul meet Adele? You know what I mean?
Oh, come on. These people hang around in the same circles. You got money, and if his name is Rich, for God's sake, he's probably very wealthy. So, you know,
he is
probably. And Adele's looking terrific. I mean, she's been on this major health trip recently, and she's lost a lot of weight, and she's obviously enjoying her life a whole lot more now because she doesn't have to drag around an extra 60 kilograms of herself. And she's clearly going out in the town and meeting people, and she's decided she wants a relationship, and not one that she's going to moan about in her songs, hopefully.
Yeah. I did have all of the sort of racial stereotypes in my mind that went through, because I was playing out all the situations with a friend of mine when I heard this, in terms of like, how did the pickup game go, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, what's up, Adele? How you doing? I'm from, I don't know, Wanslow, you know, bangers and mash. Yeah, girl, your ass fine. I did that whole thing. A friend of mine, she didn't enjoy it.
In your head, you were playing both roles.
Yeah, I was playing roles, and I was being what some people might call a little edgy in 2021.
Oh, Sub says it's obvious. Adele just called Rich and said, hello. Onkel Potses Sechale says I should hurry up and dump him to get an album out. That's also true. Alright, we've got to get to Collectomania this morning, which is always my favorite part of the week, and that's why we put it on a Monday to start your week off properly. I'm going to speak to a guy called Dr. Wayne Borowski. He is a big Liverpool fan, and just the other day We had another doctor on who's a massive Manchester United fan, and it was great to see his collection. So in the interests of not upsetting the Liverpool fans, we decided we needed to also find someone who's a massive collector in that respect. And we have found such a person. Now, you remember we met Dr. Barry, and this week the Liverpool doctor is a completely different kettle of fish. He is Dr. Wayne Borofsky. He's been collecting Liverpool stuff since he was a kid. His figurines have been collected over the past 15 years, and he's got some of those as well as his Liverpool collection. So let's go straight to him and see what he's up to. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hi, legends. Good morning, everybody. And
nice to see you.
Honored to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's good to see you. So I see all the Liverpool stuff on the... First of all, you're wearing a shirt, which is awesome, but I see a whole lot of the memorabilia on the walls and things there. I don't know if you saw Dr. Barry with us last week, but
he's a legend.
Yeah, he's terrific, and he's got this unbelievable collection of Man U stuff. Do you know him?
I know Barry very well. It's actually amazing. We often have similar patients. Obviously, uh-huh. We do different things to the patients, but often when he's treating them, they're mostly under anesthetic. So you can't traumatize them with the notion of being a Man United fan.
Yeah.
With me, I have their necks and their backs in my hands, so it's a lot more lethal if they really want to upset me. But he's an absolute legend, Gareth. He's a phenomenal man.
So you're a collector, and you probably know that there are people like you and I and Dr. Barry, we're all a little bit crazy. We start to get involved and obsessed with certain things, and we collect stuff in sometimes unnecessary and unreasonable quantities. And it all depends on how deep down the hole you go. Some people are enormously obsessed and base their entire life. They rebuild their house in order to accommodate their collections. They were willing to sacrifice relationships and God knows what else just to keep their collection going. But others are a little bit more reasonable. So how did this all start with you? Let's get into how it all began.
So I did listen to your one with Barry, and most of the guys with Liverpool or any football team, it's often through dad's influence. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously was the original route. But in 1989, there was that terrific Hillsborough disaster.
Yes.
That a lot of people know about, but the fans were crushed. And I was a little oak in standard five, grade seven nowadays, and I was inconsolable. And I didn't make any sense. And I don't know if it was a past life regression or if perhaps I was the Beatles in a past life, but I had no link there. I had no family there and some link to this amazing club. And that's pretty much what started the journey with Liverpool. And it's just got stronger over the years, and it's just been a phenomenal road.
So what do you collect? I mean, I could see some of the stuff in the picture behind you, but tell us what the collection comprises of.
So obviously all the tops each season, and then I've got all the signed shirts that we get from a certain company here, which is all the memorabilia that's signed from the players. And then the other side of the world is if I have a bad day with Liverpool, I can switch to the Marvel DC world, which I know I spoke to you guys about as well, which,
yes.
As you know, is also a huge world with the figurines. And what do you buy your 30-year-old son who's a bachelor? So my parents got me a Liverpool Batman and Superman figurine, and that started their journey when I was 30. And when we moved into Synergy Holistics, our medical center, the interior designer lady said, "You're not putting your Liverpool and your figurines in." And I said, "Hey, Lee, doll, I am. You know, you want to have fun in your office. We're dealing with pain on a serious note." Barry will tell you, patients
sure.
come to us not because they want to, because the guys, you know, in such a dark world and a cynical world, you want to have a bit of fun. So it's always a great topic. I've even had grannies. My one patient is 110
mm-hmm.
and she despises
what?
Elvis. Yep. Yep, Lee, and she despises Elvis Presley, and then we got into talking about Liverpool, and I got her to giggle, and we had a great chat. And so it's always a great point of reference to go to with the figurines
and
Liverpool.
It's a nice icebreaker too, because people often look at doctors and they think you guys are superhuman. You don't have any life outside of being a doctor, and we think of you quite one-dimensionally. You know, obviously, the more we get to know our doctors, the more we tend to like them and gravitate towards their personalities, especially if we've been going to you for years. But it can be quite forbidding to go into a doctor's rooms, and everything is very organized and clean and clinical and not necessarily any signs of personality. I think it's much better to go into a doctor's rooms and he's got like DC and Marvel figurines all over the place. I think that's quite cool.
You know, Gary, I think one of the big things is, which is influenced in the movie Patch Adams, is humor. You know, healing, and this is a big thing now. Like, you know, we don't always take it on a jovial level with pathology and that, but, you know, if you can create humor in a lot of ways, that's part of healing. And, definitely, you know, nothing like a bit of laughter. And that's, I mean, that's the joy of life. You've got to try to create some level of positivity when you're healing people.
Let's take a look at some of your stuff. First of all, there's this, cool, this shirt here. This is a Liverpool top. This is from when and who signed it? I can see lots of signatures on there.
Yeah, this is the league that we won after 30 years and 2 years ago, which obviously I think Liverpool won the league and then COVID entered. So maybe God upstairs, I heard you talking about him, maybe he wasn't happy that we won the league and they created COVID. So that's signed by the team where we won the champions a year ago, 2019-2020. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, some of this stuff is obviously quite valuable. Is it hard to find or is it easy to get hold of if you're prepared to pay?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the golf days and auctions, the guys do that. And there are certain companies that do source these for you. So there are collectibles, which down the line will have great value.
I mean,
it's a very special piece.
I'm going to bring Bulelo in on this because you will know, I mean, from the exposure you have to people in sport and the sporting world, sports memorabilia is a massive, massive industry, right?
Oh, yeah. No, huge. And, you know, the thing about sports clubs is, unless you're kind of on the inside here, is it's very difficult to explain this to people, is it's unique. It's even better than a wife because you never really get to choose your wife. Is she's kind of from around your family, your economic status, you know what I mean? So you don't really actually get to choose your wife. Your life circumstances determine that. You choose your football club. That is the most unique relationship a man can ever have. You can choose Chelsea, Arsenal, so to the dock. And then once you get to buy the memorabilia, it's becoming, and it's just getting started, by the way, with NFTs coming into it, it's a billion, if not trillion by now, dollar industry.
Oh, for
so,
sure.
Hey, Doc, you are onto something.
You definitely are. How about this?
You know,
go ahead. Yeah.
I was just saying, you guys mentioned him earlier, LeBron James, you know, so what the guys, particularly with Liverpool, you know, we've been bought up by FSG, Fenway Sports Group, who own the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And Liverpool was in like a quagmire a few years ago with a lot of financial issues. And when they get guys like that who have linked on, as you say, the ambassadors, I mean, he will just do a simple tweet. And then the followers that he's got there linked to Nike and that, as you said, it definitely promotes the brand of the club and that. So that's the link there.
I love it. All right. So tell us what these two shirts are because I can recognize both of them, but I don't know who the signatures are. So tell us who's on there.
Okay. So that's pretty much the top one is actually when we won the Champions League in 2005 with Rafa Benitez.
Wow.
And the bottom one is actually, it was a bittersweet moment. I was actually at that game when Steven Gerrard slipped. We were a point of winning the league and he slipped against Chelsea. And we lost the league. So that's the shirt sign there. Just shows you that at Liverpool, we do have patience. We're not like Manchester who throw tantrums. It still goes on the wall.
And is the Gerrard signature on that shirt also, did he slip while doing the signature too? Or is it tidy?
So, man, it broke him, eh? I mean, he says he has sleepless nights still to this day. But he's a legend. And, you know, we're all human and guys make mistakes. And so he's a phenomenal man, eh?
What about this? Here are some of the DC and Marvel figurines. So how many of these do you have?
So these collected, like I said, when I was from 30, I'm 44 now. In fact, originally started, I had a big Superman picture that I wanted to put above my bed. And my mom and my sister said, you're not putting it above your bed if you ever want to get married. So that is what led to me collecting the figurines. And quite a few. I've collected them over the years. I've got some very special pieces from the different elements of Marvel and DC world, probably over about 120 pieces.
I mean, isn't DC and Marvel a bit like Man U and Liverpool? Like you have to be one or the other, right? People don't take you seriously if you're into both. People are like, nah, you're full of shit. You have to be a DC person or a Marvel person. You have to be a Man U supporter or a Liverpool supporter. You can never be both.
So you know what? Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's only one real superhero who's Superman. And then the others are, it's nice to watch and that, you know, and then, you know, when the Marvel guys come in, yeah, I'll chirp them, you know, about DC. You know, like it's always good to live and to have, you've got to promote yourself in life and you've got to try to step up. So, you know, some guys, same as Man United guys, you go your whole life and not knowing, like I always say to patients, you know, you go your whole life having Bovril and then know the secret of Marmite at the end of your journey. It's the same story. Like, you know, you can go through that journey, Gavin, when you know what greatness is, when you get to DC and Liverpool.
All right, here's a Spider-Man poster. This is next to your little cabinet of all your figurines. So what is this?
These are quotes I had done just from for inspiration for patients. So it's pretty cool, especially the kids love it. It's actually funny when the kids walk in there, you always expect the kids to be the most excited, but some of the parents, the fathers, like they get more excited. And then you lose them for that second when you try to do a case history with that, like, why are they here to see you? And then you pretty much got to pull them back in and rein them back in because they get totally overwhelmed by it and they start to look at all the figurines. So it creates great joy. And it, like you said, it's a great icebreaker when you want to chirp the guys.
And also, I suppose for some of them, it just puts them at ease. No one wants to go to the doctor. You usually go when something's wrong with you or when you're concerned about something. So if you can go there and actually be a little bit distracted, it probably makes people calmer and more receptive to listening to you and to paying attention to themselves and their health a little bit more closely. I think it's terrific. It's just it's friendly. It's fun. Why do you have an Argentina shirt? This is interesting to me. And this is something I would like. Tell me about this.
Okay, it's pretty much because of Diego Maradona. Mm-hmm. That was when I was a little okie, and the same with him. I mean, he was a big influence through my dad, and just loved him. I think, you know, if you read up about him, you know, I think that a lot of the guys were very much against him. I think there was a lot of jealousy towards him. You know, you see with a lot of these superstars that don't get guarded properly. You know, a lot of these kids are very impoverished.
Yeah.
You know, he got into drugs in Napoli with the mafia there in Barcelona. It was very sad. A phenomenal man, probably the ultimate footballer of all time, would be arguably from a lot of guys. But that's the whole Argentina link. That's, I would say, my national side, even though I'm South African. But I just love the journey through Diego.
Is Maradona's signature on that shirt?
No. This is the side from the World Cup in 2014, which is Messi and those chaps.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because that's my team when the World Cup rolls around, Argentina.
Amazing.
I've been watching them for years.
Good.
All right. Well, listen, this is really cool. Would you suggest that people, you know, who don't collect, because we know a couple of these people that they're not as obsessed and crazy as you and I or any of the other people we've had on Collectomania. What does it do for you? Because you've spoken quite nicely about what it means to the patients and how it helps to just make you more accessible to them. And you have fun doing it, obviously. But what does it do for you? I mean, when you acquire something that you've looked for and wanted for a long time for your collection, how does that feel? And explain to people why it's such a big deal for us, those of us who collect.
I think that it just gives me a perspective. You know, we often get lost in the journey. You know, we get into a rut in work or we get into a rut in life and that. So with my type of work, you know, you're dealing with pain all day with patients. And sometimes just you turn and you have a quick look at something or one of the quotes here that I'll read here and that, and it just actually ignites you in a way. And, you know, I think it's great to have interest in life and, you know, it can be anything. That's the beauty of life. We have to cherish. If anything we've learned in the last 2 years is we must be in the moment. And on a musical, which is one of my passions, I can't blast musicals in there with patience. But it's you know, the one thing is a musical called Rent, which is No Day But Today. And that's very much how we grew up. My family is just live in the moment. And I think with figurines and collectibles on any facet, I've got patients from cigars or collect, as you, I've seen a lot of your Collectomania stuff you guys do. I mean, it's amazing. But I just, for me, it ignites me and it gives me perspective of a little bit of celebration every day of life. And pretty much it just reignites it for me every day. And that's the
terrific
reason what it fulfills
good
me.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So we've got obviously to thank the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop for making this possible every week for us, because we found the most incredible people. And here we have a second doctor in a row who collects all kinds of sports memorabilia. And in this case, also with Dr. Wayne, he's got like a whole bunch of figures, action figures too, from the DC and Marvel universe. If you have a collection that you want to share with us, get hold of us on contact@cliffcentral.com. And we would love to have you on and feature you and your collection. You may as well show off a little bit. I was talking to someone on Friday, and she told me that she's got a relative who collects Pez dispensers. You know those Pez dispensers? But like hundreds of them. Every imaginable Pez dispenser you could think of. And this is the collection. And I'll try and get that person on, because I think that's pretty wild. Imagine collecting something as specific as that. It's amazing.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Doc, thanks very much for your time this morning. It's good to see you.
Be safe, guys. Thanks a lot.
You too. Cheers. There we go.
Bye, everybody.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is cool.
All these people with these weird collections, it makes me feel very normal. with my collections. You know, there are plenty of those. Michael says his collection is immaculately presented, beautiful to look at for sure. The vibrant colors pull the eye. I love these collection encounters. Yeah, it's definitely like it's a wacky thing, and not everybody's into it, but it makes everything about that person just seem that little bit more intriguing, right? Michael yeah, also says, yeah. I collect crypto, but I'm not ready to show that off yet. Well, I mean, we spoke about China earlier. It looks like China are also bearing down on the crypto market and banning outright some of the cryptocurrencies and their use. Wait, hang on. There's my – I think my camera's just gone off. Let me try and fix that quickly.
Or maybe the Chinese.
Three, it's probably the Chinese.
Three lazy yeah. dots.
Let me just try and figure this out. There we go. Is that better? You can see me now?
Yes.
Sorry, that obviously the camera's battery died or something. But yeah, the Chinese are also now stepping into the cryptocurrency world and making that a little more complicated for people who are trying to mine or trade with cryptocurrencies there. But I see Bitcoin's back to healthy levels of 44,000. It did go all the way up to 48,000 a little while ago. And we'll see. Maybe China doesn't have the kind of power that it thinks it does. Or maybe it's trying to cut off my camera. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. Gen X just commenting on Dr. Wayne's collection, saying, I think it's great. Reminds you your doctor is just a human. Yeah. Because people, they tend to put, you know, doctors and politicians and sports people on pedestals, when the only thing on pedestals in Dr. Wayne's life are the action figures.
Yeah. I don't, it could go two ways though. I mean, maybe you want a doctor who does absolutely nothing but research your ailment, you know.
Well, it'd be a very boring person, don't you think? And also, I don't think they need to be researching your particular ailment. That's what they trained and studied for. I'm sure that they're on top of things. It's not like he's letting his practice languish while he's out there trying to find Liverpool shirts.
No, I doubt that.
But I do like the idea, and Beth says this too, that more doctors should personalize their consulting and treatment spaces. Well, not just doctors. Everybody. I don't know if you've been in one of those big offices where everybody has their, you know, little partitioned desk and, you know, those massive open working spaces, which we used to have before COVID, obviously. And there's some people who would personalize their desks, have like pictures of their kids and, you know, little toys or little posters or little pictures on the dividers between the different desks. That kind of stuff is cool.
Yeah.
You've got to personalize your space.
Pediatricians and pediatric surgeons, just thinking of my cousin who now has her practice. Those places are all about the decor and making it fun for kids who are sitting in the waiting room.
Is that the cousin who fixes
tactile walls?
The doctor cousin who fixes children's assholes, right?
She builds assholes.
Builds assholes, yes. Yeah. We've had her on
she
before.
She can build assholes, vaginas, penises.
It's amazing.
Very good at that. Yeah. Her Lego experiences when she was young were very interesting.
I'm sure.
We could never figure out what they were, but now we know.
Yeah, I think it's really important to personalize your workspace. Obviously, in your house, it's, you know, it's easier than in an office. And some people prefer to have these extremely clinical, sterile, very straightforward workspaces. They you know, must be minimalistic, and it can look like anyone else's office and shouldn't have any personality at all. I'm not like that. I couldn't work in a place like that. It has to be me.
Mm.
It has to be a little bit personalized. Otherwise, I'll never really be able to work there comfortably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how would you feel if, like, your Uber driver had personalized their car?
Well,
with fluffy dice and
I think it's
tissue
cool.
box in the back.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Don't you think that's okay?
It would be kind of fun.
Oh.
I mean, that's what they do on islands, like in Mauritius. The buses are fully decorated.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Lots of fun.
I get the feeling Bulela would like the much more straightforward, paint-by-numbers, not very personalized workspace. Am I right?
Yeah, it all gets a bit much for me. Like, people want to try and express their deepest idiosyncrasies. It's like, no, just get it done. You know, so I'm not a doctor, though.
You wouldn't really care. Like, if you walked into a room and it was functional and it did its job, you wouldn't care what color the walls were. That's you.
Not at all. I don't like to be sort of stimulated by extrinsic sort of factors. I like, no, I'm doing here. I'm where my feet are, you know? I'm not into people trying to express who they are around me so I can know they're special. Just do what you're doing. Carry on.
I think
we need the variety.
No, you're the opposite of me then. Witch doctors have been personalizing their workspaces for years, says V. That's also true.
That's very true. Vumanibo.
Yeah. On that note, my brother and his wife, their domestic worker is a full on sangoma. She's going through she's twasaing at the moment and doing all the stuff and going through the courses and doing the sacrificing and all that kind of stuff. And my brother's quite excited. He says he likes the idea that they have a sangoma working for them.
Yeah.
Did she get the calling?
Yeah. The whole thing.
As long as she's got their backs and it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. And my brother's like, no, bring all your muti here. We'll all wear the little bracelets and all that stuff. He's dead keen on it. So speaking.
And is she Zulu
she's Zulu.
Okay, so she's full. She's the full thing, huh? The platinum package.
Careful now, because you're gonna upset the others.
To like it.
You're gonna upset everybody else in Bulelo if you give the Zulus preference. You know what happens?
They are the. You know, like Zulu people, for our international listeners, they really believe there is only two tribes, you know, like, and genuinely, there are Zulu people and there is everybody else.
Yeah.
Like they are insufferable. I mean, I have my closest mate is Zulu and they are the most insufferable bunch of, although they did beat the British. So it's annoying when there's actual tacit history to somebody's kind of arrogance, you know? It's like, yeah, okay, well, you do have the most manly men in this country. You probably do. So
it's a bit like China, which keeps coming up on the show this morning. China's just made more entries into the show without our permission than anything else today. We've been talking about a whole bunch of things, but China keeps coming up. And maybe the Zulus, if they were totally in charge of South Africa, would run it a bit more like China than they would anything else. Daniela says,
sorry, on the sangoma front, sorry, Gary, yeah. Before you move on, is I once, or not once, it's happened a couple of occasions because I dismiss it, all of it, right? It's like, I think it's a piss take. So it happened a couple of months ago where people were talking about it seriously, but I thought they were joking. So now I start taking the piss and, like, I felt the temperature of the room changing. I was like, what are you talking about? You all sound like Brian from down the road. I mean, it was all a bunch of black people, but it was your classic northern suburbs dickheads, you know? Like, yeah, I'm a Dorsey, and yeah, it's just so important to know. I'm like, what are you people talking about? So
you pissed them all off, basically. You pissed them all off, yeah.
And I didn't know anybody there. I ruined the whole thing.
It's our discussion about the pastors this morning probably pissed off a few people too, because some people really they don't like those things to be challenged. You know, take the argument from authority, and a pastor is more important than Gareth or Leanne or Bulelo's opinion. So when you say that you don't take sangomas seriously, then some people are like, "Oh my God, heretic! How dare you?" You know, it's a big deal to them. Bulelo is upset he can't flip-flop into Zulu. Jealous down, dude, says Basitsana. Yeah, because you do flip from Xhosa to Pedi, right?
Yeah. You claim both of those. No, depends who's doing well. Dali Tambo, I'm having none of that. Halima Motlante, I'm having all of that, you know? It depends which version of Xhosa we're presenting. So,
yeah.
Absolutely, I will flip-flop. I'm not loyal.
Snaye says, I'm double Zulu, Bulelo, my surname and my tribe. And I must agree with you, we are a very arrogant tribe. Oh, God, we're not going down this street. Oh, my God. All right. So Snai says, it does irritate me, actually. I think the Xhosas are the most interesting tribe in South Africa, very smart and talented. But again, let's not generalize because...
No, but it's true. I mean...
Well,
he's going to take that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, let's not generalize, but this one just so happens to be the one that's true, yeah.
All right, well, I'm afraid that's all we got time for this morning, but well done for making it into the first morning of a brand new week, and we will be here tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. to look after you and to take you through the rest of it. Let us know what's on your mind. You can get hold of us at contact@cliffcentral.com, and a big thank you to Dr. Wayne this morning for sharing his collection with us on Collectomania, which is, of course, brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. Go and see them, by the way, if you want to start a collection and get yourself some precious metals as an investment and in order to make your collection a little bit more interesting. Nothing like having a bit of gold in them there hills. Mm. You know what I mean?
Bit of bling.
Yeah. Do it. Do it today. You can get hold of them by going to their website. It's the easiest way to find them. You can buy silver and gold and platinum and all kinds of things. It's a good idea to do it. So there it is. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a good day.
CliffCentral.com